You deserve a brand new website. That is my new song inspired by our sponsor, Squarespace, a drag-and-drop do-it-yourself website platform with everything. I'm talking everything you need to create an exceptional website. Go to squarespace.com/cage, start a free trial, use the offer code FLOP, that's FLOP, when you decide to purchase, and you'll receive a what? 10% discount. So, see what I'm singing about when you go to squarespace.com/cage, offer code FLOP. Today's episode of How Did This Get Made was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Bell House in New York. And as always, when we do a live show, there are certain things that might be a little bit more visual. But if you don't care, throw caution to the wind. You'll enjoy it just the same. We'll explain what we're seeing. Don't get too caught up in it. So enjoy the show. Special announcement. Tickets are almost sold out for our live How Did This Get Made at Largo in Los Angeles. You want to buy tickets? Go to largola.com. The movie is From Justin to Kelly, the American Idol movie. And we have a very special guest, plus a premiere screening of Burning Love Season 2. You saw the first season. It's hilarious. The second season focuses on June. That's right. Her character, Julie Gristlewhite, comes back, and she is ready to feel the burn. So definitely check that out. This is not even really an ad. I'm excited for you to see it. So come on out and see us live in LA on February 13th. Go to largola.com.
How do you make a great movie? Pedophilia, tits, and 30-minute monologues by Al Pacino. We saw The Devil Advocate, so you know what that means. Oh, I gotta run over here. Excited to be here, and let me first introduce my amazing co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael and Jason Manzoukas. We are joined by a very special guest tonight. Please welcome Julie Klausner. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
You think you're pretty cool, don't you, Brooklyn?
Devil's Advocate, we picked this movie because
it's
you guys
terrible.
Can relate to it. It's a New York story. It's a universal New York tale.
You guys get it. There's shots on streets you know.
I want to just say that I have not seen this movie. It was recommended to me numerous times, and I love it. I love it because it's dirty. Like, it's a dirty movie.
This is the sexiest, grossest movie we've ever done. I feel like this is the closest I've genuinely come to jerking off during one of our movies.
Was it the Charlize Theron, like, dropped her clothes in the church scene?
When Charlize drops, and is all cut up?
Yeah.
I was like, sexy cut up Charlize? Yes, please.
Full frontal Charlize.
Yeah.
Charlize, like, there is multiple Bush in this movie, guys. That happens. We haven't seen that, honestly, since Smurfette and Smurfs.
I do feel like, though, it's like a movie
her
made by
blonde.
It's a movie by men who like spend a lot of time in cigar shops.
Oh,
yeah, the fucking devil, and you got some bush.
What comes across in this movie is that there's so many male actors who love saying the word fuck. It's like the one after the other. It's so
Al Pacino
gross.
Gives a monologue about fucking a woman so hard she can't walk. And he's like, who did it? Little old me.
She didn't see it coming.
There's a scene in a restaurant, too, where he just sort of gestures to a woman, and then she gets on her knees and starts
under the table. He lifts up the tablecloth so she can get up.
And Keanu's like,
that's funny.
Also,
like, if I'm at two tables away, I'm like, check, please. I need Purell and the check immediately. I gotta get out of out of here.
By the way, he's at a table, not just with Keanu, with a bunch of people who'd be like at Thanksgiving dinner and be like, no,
wait,
this person's going to blow me and everyone's going to be cool with
it. You guys, I don't think they were serving food at that place. That was a nightclub.
No.
They weren't serving food.
No,
they
were serving
dinner.
Food.
Not
serving
dinner.
They were definitely serving food.
And it was
food.
Like savory, rich food.
Are you serious? I
yeah,
thought it was 100%.
A nightclub. It would bacon like wrapped dates and ricotta cheese.
Buco.
As if we were here and I had like a salmon and I was like...
And this dude
came up and
just
blew me.
You just see this actress. You just see her like.
By the way, that was an actress. She needed to be cast. What's the part? Oh, Al Pacino's gonna point to his dick, and then you're gonna go suck him off. I'm in.
She was billed as a suck-off girl.
Is that an under five? Okay, I'll take it.
You might know me. I was suck-off girl number two in Devil's Advocate, or the other girl who's like. I was Asian slut in Elevator in Devil's Advocate.
Let's just start this movie.
Named Giselle.
Giselle.
Her name was Giselle.
Yeah.
The movie begins with our protagonist getting off a pedophile and
Wait a
trial.
Minute. Hang on. I think you want to rephrase that.
Okay.
Take a second.
That is true.
Because... our protagonist getting off a pedophile is dicey.
But not too far away from the truth, because basically it opens up in a Gainesville courtroom. A little girl, the girl from Welcome to the Dollhouse,
Don Wiener,
is testifying about how this man molested her.
Her teacher, who is Frank Sobotka from season 2 of The Wire.
So good.
Okay, that is what we get it. You guys are fucking cool. Okay.
Wait a second. No, these guys aren't cool. They like the second season of The Wire. That's bullshit, man. The dog.
Oh, he's talking about Ziggy's dad.
So, in her testimony about how she was diddled, the teacher starts like massage. Like, I guess they couldn't get
him. He's full blown jerking it.
Jerking it.
He's giving himself a side jerk under the table.
No, but what is he doing with that other hand?
He's stroking the table.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up to his lawyer, who's Keanu Reeves, who draws out this testimony from Heather Matarazzo that is excessive.
Oh, it is excessive.
She talks right. about...
She gets raped again in court.
She talks about how her teacher fingered her, and then she's like, and then he moved it back and forth. You're like, just put the fingers inside. That's plenty to know.
But again, it goes to that guy, the screener, is like, yeah, how did he rape her? Yeah. And then he's like, back and forth. Write it down. Control-Alt-S. Save it.
Save the cat.
Wait, so you think the screenwriter didn't actually type any of these words? He dictated all of them?
He's dictating it to a busty blonde.
And then type, he moves it back and forth. And then he put one under her skirt. And then moved it back and forth. I'm done.
So Keanu is...
I had the commitment to do that for the rest of the show. Just a bit that I fall asleep and I just do not talk for the rest of the show.
40 minutes of... I will only mention this one moment because it plays a crucial part towards the end. Keanu is upset that this guy is jerking off.
Why is Keanu so surprised that this guy is a pedophile?
He's not surprised that he's a pedophile. He's surprised that he's so proud of it.
Yeah, he's so blazing about it.
So he's okay with him being a pedophile.
Keanu's like, I'm going to get this guy off, but I don't like to watch him get himself off while I'm doing it.
Write that down.
Oh, do it. Fade in. Oh, I don't like to get too up, but
now it's interesting to note, and we'll come back to it later, but I want to mention it. So Keanu is a little bit upset, so he goes to the bathroom to kind of wash his face and take
punches
a moment.
He punches the wall. Like a fucking man does.
And takes off his wedding ring to wash his hands, like we all do.
Okay, this is a question I was going to ask you as an unmarried person. Oh, God, what am I doing?
Oh God.
Ladies, Jason is available.
Jason, stand alive.
Listen, for dirty notebook, but for dirty shit. For very dirty.
I'm looking for somebody to poop on. Listen.
Back and forth.
My parents are in the back. Say hi to them. Listen, guys. Do people take their rings off to wash their hands? No, right?
I would take that off to wash my hands. Especially in a public bathroom. What safety is that?
Okay, so go ahead. So yes, he goes in to wash his hands. And
just keep that in the back of your mind. It's what we call in movie making foreshadowing.
I also want to know this, and I've asked this before because it's happened in movies we've done before. Has anybody in this room ever gotten so stressed out and so overwhelmed that you had to go to a bathroom and splash cold water on your face? Has anybody, literally, show of hands, has anybody ever
done that? Oh, wait, we have one
that?
Person who's
what?
Done it. And
fuck
you're a woman,
you.
You're a lady.
You fucking liar, you just want attention.
It is not a done thing. Whoever came up with that concept. Yeah, it's never like, bring myself back to reality.
I feel so much better. No way, you just now have wet on your shirt.
I will say that things worse, actually.
Yes,
you now are an embarrassment.
I will say that after we talked about this on the podcast, one time I went into a bathroom, I put cold water on my face to do it. And I was like, I actually felt good. I was like, I want to see. Like, I was like, oh, I'm a little stressed out. I'm going to put cold water on my face. Works. So Keanu celebrating his victory, getting this pedophile freed. They go to like a shit kicking Gainesville bar.
You should first say that Keanu is Florida.
He's tortured by it.
He is in Florida and he has a southern accent.
And does he have a southern accent?
Oh, he has multiple southern accents.
Yeah. If you are wondering if Keanu's got the fucking chops to be from the south, he does not. This movie is the proof.
Don't try to hold on to that accent, because it's going to come and it's going to go.
There was no real reason for him to be Southern, really, I don't think.
I think there was.
It's like he's doing an impression of Andy McDowell, the whole movie. Just in his, like...
Holy shit.
Just in his, like...
Holy shit, my mind just exploded.
That occurred to me because of that essence of, like... dullness and like nothing behind the eyes.
He was like, oh, I'm worried I'm moving my face too much when I act. It's Remember what Andy McDowell does, which is nothing.
Preference.
Let me do that.
Preference by L'Oreal.
I pulled a clip.
Like, I feel like both of them could start drooling at any point for lack of facial control.
They both are in the middle of having strokes for their entire lives. I pulled a clip that I think shows the fluctuation of the accent. It's hard to kind of pinpoint it to an exact scene, but I think this does it. So keep your ears open. I hope this works.
Can we get out of the way?
Nope, you can stay right here.
9 minutes.
What's all this?
All what? Jackie says the who's who of New York Power is going to be there tonight.
All this?
Oh, that? It was going to be a nursery. But then I remembered you have to be home long enough to knock me up, so now I'm thinking of building a law library.
Oh, baby.
Now, listen, this is the difference.
I can handle this.
You can handle this.
No accent.
Say something nice.
Something nice.
Accent.
That's it. But it kind of fades in and out on a couple lines there.
Guys, by the way, Charlize Theron is in this movie and is horrible.
She's not good. But her wig is okay.
Her wig.
I do love that Al Pacino's giving some really good hair advice in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his hair consultations are solid.
Yeah, he sits down with her and that, you know, basically just to get you into the meat of the story, because there's not really much to go on. So he gets this
not much to go on?
Just to get you guys on the same page.
Because he gets off this pedophile. Not literally. First time we've used literally the right way. They get moved to New York, and they are now working for Al Pacino, who is interesting, to say the least.
There's a spoiler alert about Al Pacino.
By the way, I want to tell you, fuck it, I'm going to jump to the end and just go, they play the reveal that he's the devil like, bum, bum, bum.
Like it's the Sixth Sense reveal.
Yeah, the movie is called The Devil's Advocate.
Yeah.
There is no confusion.
And they show that in the trailer.
Yeah.
When he's like, who are you? And
who are you? Or when he's talking to his mom, finish the story. Finish the story.
Again,
that's Keanu Reeves.
The cigar-chomping, filet mignon-eating writer is like, ah, fuck it, they're never going to see it coming. This guy's the fucking devil. You think he's a lawyers are devils. Fucking nailed it.
I'm not Joe Estrahouse, but I will be. Uh-oh, I'm still not.
When they move to New York, one of the selling points of their new apartment is, this is the best jogging in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, how's the jogging
here? Well, it's the late 90s when everybody was real, when all of the real estate market was predicated on jogging.
By the way, I thought, is it worth mentioning at all that I thought that Keanu Reeves had a racist moment when he first, there's like an African-American lawyer that he bumps into, and he thinks like this guy's been set up. He goes, nah, the black thing was good. You almost got me there. Weird. Like Angus T. Jones style. Like, I'm cool with black people, but that's cool. That's weird, but we're cool. It just looks like a weird...
And he's the one married to the woman who looks like she's in every yogurt commercial.
Well, she's her Law and Order.
Yogurt lady?
Yeah, the one in the... like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yogurt lady.
A yoga tank with, like, permed hair and light skin.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Activia's for me because I have an active lifestyle, but not an active bowel movement.
By the way, this whole storyline they set up about Charlize Theron's character having horrible style and taste...
Yes.
...is so ridiculous. I mean, we've only seen her looking quite good.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the movie.
And it's another example of gorgeous people being treated like they're like...
animals.
Yeah.
Like
dumb game. Well,
here's
fuck.
Yeah.
She's stunning. She's absolutely stunning.
Gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
And Al Pacino sidles up to her and is like, really? Really?
Well,
you ugly dumb. Is this what you're going to look like? Is this what you're going to show yourself?
He basically negs her.
Yeah, he negs her.
The devil negs her into cutting her hair.
You're right.
Totally does.
He's like, put your hair up. And she's like, man, I don't know if I want to. He's like, put your hair up. He goes, what does he say? He says, if you put your hair up like that, it shows your neck.
A neck?
He talks about how a woman's shoulders are like the eyes of the face.
This is Charlize Theron, whose body is fucking bonkers.
He goes,
and he's like, your shoulders and your neck. Oh.
Your neck. He goes,
I'm the devil. Oh.
He's like, I wrote it down. He goes,
your neck's a border town.
You want to find out what's inside.
That's not what you want with a border town.
Not at all. You want to get through it.
Guess what? If I find a border town, I'm like, I'm going back this way because danger's in there. Like Juarez. Guess what I don't need in Juarez?
Don't want to check
a border town. I don't need murder.
I did write down, though, when Al Pacino was giving her hair advice, I want this Al Pacino in every movie.
He arrives instantly bonkers. He is...
Oh, yeah, he goes from 100 to 100.
Yeah, yeah. So basically what happens is Keanu Reeves, in getting the pedophile acquitted, is drafted from Florida by Al Pacino's law office to come and be a lawyer in New York, right? The big city. They give him a loft in New York, which somehow they instantaneously decorate like it's Florida.
Yes.
Like, somehow it is instantly Florida. They paint. They do all sorts of.
But also, like Keanu Reeves' money go. Like he's like he gets $400 an hour. But they're spending money as if he is like a multimillionaire immediately. It's like you got this job. Oh great, we have $10 million. Great, let's go. Like there's no lag in the money. Mm-hmm.
Keanu Reeves is the worst actor in history. I said that slowly because I want to make sure everybody understands what I'm saying.
Do you think that he is worse than this? Do you think that this is his worst performance?
No.
Maybe because it's in juxtaposition with people who are chewing so much scenery. Everybody is an animal in this movie, and then he's just kind of like, huh?
He has figured out like how to have the most minimal response. I actually think he's doing something understated all the time. He's making a choice.
I feel like his choice. I feel like his actor's secret is that he has downs.
In all roles.
I'm playing a lawyer, but my secret is I have downs.
Wait,
and I don't understand.
I'm functional.
Yes.
I can functional,
I'm
but I can't
downs.
Let anyone know.
Right. I'm a lawyer, but I have downs. So I should probably just be stocking shelves.
I have a question. I know we're moving forward to the
too far?
New York.
No,
to
no,
the
no,
New
no,
York
no.
Section.
Too far?
Not far enough. Enough.
Somebody got really upset over there.
Someone in the audience has got up. I also have downs.
How dare you? How dare you say that about downs?
I know we're moving forward, but I want to go back to the court scene for 1 second. Mm-hmm.
The pedophile court scene?
The pedophile court scene.
Okay, cool.
Because obviously I'm a supporter of victims of pedophilia. I think we all know that.
Oh, they're the best.
I think we know that.
Well,
and that's clear. But
June,
I have a question
June,
about her
we
testimony.
Can, June,
I
we
have
can
a question.
Agree to disagree on this.
All right.
I hate to take
my
a contrarian
look,
stance.
Look, let me say but... this much. My instinct is to believe everything she says. Why did she lie about the teacher? Why did she lie about writing notes about the teacher?
Oh, did she call them a big fat fatty?
Yeah.
Fatty,
big fat
yes.
hog. A big fat hog or something like that?
Pig monster.
Hog beast.
Hog beast.
Hog.
Well, first it's pig
hog...
monster, then it's hog beast.
What Why did game? She lie about that?
1,000 pancakes a day. Thank you very much, sir. Basically, Keanu, part of his defense to discredit this young girl who's been diddled by her math
over
teacher...
Over and over again.
...was that she had passed a note at one point that said her teacher was fat.
Okay.
So that really sways a jury.
The other...
But when he asks her... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, but when he asks her about it point blank, did you write this note? Did you say these things? These very specific things. She says, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, right. Technically, she's being right because he goes, did you call him a pig man? And she said, no. She called him a hog beast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
actually,
right,
she wins on that one. But I feel like the more damning evidence was the revelation that she played a game called Special Places.
I have never heard of this game.
Did you have friends over when your parents were away? Did you play a game called Special Places? Was it of a sexual nature?
What? How can you... Does anyone understand how Special Places plays out?
I assume it's the special places on your body.
I think you touch yourself in your special places.
But then do you go like, I'm touching myself on my breast because that's where my math teacher touched me. I mean, like...
Hang on, let me say this.
Yeah, and then you win.
Has anybody played Special Places? Is this a real game or...
Okay, these kids play this game called Special Fucking Places.
Okay, it's like spin the bottle, 7 minutes ahead.
But it's
only
like what these new kids are doing
dirtier.
The internet. Fuck it.
Special Places.
I feel like the screenwriter's gradually becoming Al Pacino, the way you guys are doing him.
Under
it's
a pen name.
It's not far from the truth because
under
apparently...
Under a pen name.
Apparently Al Pacino...
Pal Macino.
He did not want to be in this movie. He turned it down 5 times. 5 times.
No!
Only and no. No. No!
Okay, I'll do it.
I'll take a flamethrower to that script. But then he and Taylor Hackford, the director, went through and rewrote it. And they offered it to him again on the 6th time. On the 6th time, he said he liked it.
Well, he offered it to himself on the 6th time.
He said on the 6th time he didn't think he could portray Milton properly, and he suggested Sean Penn or Robert Redford. But then again, they don't say where it went from there. I guess then they said no, and then he went back.
I always confuse those two guys.
Robert Redford or Sean Penn. We don't know what
same guys.
Okay.
I suggested Sean Penn, Robert Redford, or Lil Bow Wow. They can all handle this kind of material.
They are warriors. So they get to New York. The first thing that would say something is up with Al Pacino is he has an oval office with no windows. That's weird. In New York. And then part of the oval office opens, and it is literally... on the side of a building, like, and this is a real building apparently, where it's like a patio with no railings with 2 pools. I don't even know how to describe it.
It's an infinity pool.
It's two infinity pools.
Yeah, he's got 2 infinity pools. The devil loves water.
On like the 90th floor of a penthouse building. So what the fuck? I don't know. You gotta see it. It's real. It's
that
not green
like
screen.
The highest
wait, it's a real. It's a real thing.
It is a real building.
But they didn't make it for the movie. Okay.
Well, I assumed it was
expensive.
Like a CGI. Not
yeah,
a CGI
I thought
thing,
it was
like
a set or something.
Oh no! They saved the CGI for just the balcony scene.
Oh my God!
You can't find a balcony in New York. Green screen in.
But you're not saying that building.
That building exists according to the research
with
that
the
I
pools.
Did. The building. Yes.
Well,
is
I
that all
city?
You researched?
I only research. I'm a big architecture guy, and when I see stuff like that, I gotta get on the horn with my architecture friends. Guys, does it exist? Sure, it does. Great, we'll do the podcast.
We're in.
So
then he has to. What happened? We just did the
we
same
time.
Time. As part of the How Did This Get Made drinking game, that means you have to drink.
Double drink.
By the way, before we leave Gainesville, when they introduce...
I love that you
Gainesville
are still
in the first 5 minutes.
Still in Gainesville.
The movie is 2 hours
and
23 minutes.
I'm so sorry. But the costume choice for... Kevin Lomax's... Which, by the way, is the craziest name for your... Every man.
That's cute.
Oh, really? Do you want to know why his name was Kevin Lomax? It's a reference to low MACH, a term described to describe people scoring below 60% on the MACH-4 test used by personality and social psychologists to measure Machiavellism, which is to measure a person's tendency to manipulate and deceive others for personal gain. Lomax tends to agree with the following statements. There is no excuse for lying for someone else. Most people who get ahead in the world lead clean and moral lives. These are precisely the moral issues faced by the character in the film.
Wow.
That is deep.
Okay.
That is fucking hard work. Lomax.
Is
Lomax.
That the same case as Bernie Lomax from Weekend at Bernie's?
Truly it is.
The costuming of Kevin Lomax's mother.
The religious zealot.
The religious zealot. I mean, she's dressed as a polygamist.
She's dressed as a sister wife.
Yes.
She looks like a sister wife.
If you busted a cult and brought her out, you'd be like, yep, that fits.
I feel like she's definitely 100% married to Warren Jeffs.
Yes.
Like, for real.
But also, by the way,
we... didn't have a speck of makeup on either.
No, it was tough. And we meet her at a gospel church. And nobody else is dressed like that.
She's dressed like a pilgrim. And everyone else is dressed normal.
I feel like there's a reason why that is. I feel like she's gotten so... Well, it doesn't matter. But she's gone so... Because of her sin.
I would say that, Jason.
Don't spoil
I would say
it.
That,
I didn't spoil it.
Let's not spoil it.
Guys, I'm not going to spoil it.
Jason.
I'm totally going to spoil it. I'm incorrigible.
Jason, when we first meet her, she's having a great time
at
the
in gospel church. Yes.
Yeah.
Because she is in the only place she feels safe.
Right.
Because
shit we're gonna
has
find
gone
out.
Down.
Right. We're gonna find out something that's going to blow your mind. If you saw the movie, you know what we're finding out.
Guys, it involves her vagina.
They're
and a vacation she took.
Are you done with Gainesville, June? Because
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about this a little bit. They come to New York, and we talked about Charlize's style. I think we should show the wall, the painting scene here. This is
next level bonkers.
Okay, here we go.
This shit is where it's at.
Okay, here we go.
It's Arbor Green, what you think?
That's the yogurt woman.
Not with your complexion.
The other woman's always wearing green, by the way, watch.
Caribbean green. Something cooler, maybe.
You can
cooler,
set it out there.
Cooler green. Too institutional. Now, I love green. You know I love green. But it's one thing to wear it and another thing to have it on his wall.
Put a bowl of fruit up here.
Marianne, I'm just trying to help. I mean, it's your walls. Do what you want.
That is the scene of the painting the wall scene.
And the music would tell you that tension is building. It's not.
It's not building anywhere.
What it's I not. Find so
People
crazy about this.
People are painting walls.
And studying law.
They're making
law.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and she's painting her own walls. She's also not hired a decorator, and clearly they don't know where fruit goes. as the fruit was placed on the mantle. You would never put fruit on a mantle. No matter how rich you are.
Unless you were a monkey and you thought it was an award.
Maybe she's
and the winner of Best Monkey in a Musical goes to
Coco the Gorilla.
You get a bushel of fruit. The winner of the bushy. Which works both ways. All right, so
I love that she starts wearing a baseball hat in there too. But it literally is the tension they're cutting between is her painting and him studying law books. That's it.
I would disagree with you, Jason. I think they're cutting between the tension of her painting and her painting. She's painting a different color. I like that they like paint over her face as like a wipe.
Yep.
They also paint over Kevin Lomax's face too. It's really weird. It's like real like cheapo editing effects. We'll make it paint over this green.
And we do see later on the color she landed on after all that.
Yeah, it wasn't nice.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
We all are agreeing that, too, that the woman, we talked about it, I'm just going to say it again, the woman, the yogurt woman, is wearing the same color that she's painting, and she's like, I don't like that color.
At what point she says, yeah, it's green is okay to wear.
Do
I just don't know
like
if it's rewolves.
The screenwriter was on set and had to like feed her that like it's okay to wear line once he saw that she was gonna wear that sweater.
Yeah. Shit, had to, like, I gotta talk to these costume designers.
Oh, you know what?
We don't have time to change it now.
Here's the line now.
We'll rewrite it.
They go to a big fancy party run by Al Pacino. All the big celebs are there. Celebs like Alphonse D'Amato. Alphonse D'Amato, by being in this movie, is associating himself with the devil. Don King, also in this movie as himself, associating himself with the devil.
They are clients of the devil.
Hey, Paul, guys, is Donald Trump in the movie?
Oh, I guess they couldn't get him, so they got Coach. Greg T. Nelson to beat Donald Trump.
They also say, at one point, Donald Trump was supposed to be here, but he was called away.
Do you think Alphonse D'Amato read the script and knew what he was
signing up for? The movie was called Devil's Advocate.
I think he probably got the elevator pitch of what it was about. Because you're right, this is like not only a guy who hangs out in a cigar bar's idea of what's cool, but it's a guy who hangs out in a cigar bar's idea of what's powerful. Yes. It's like if I work for the New York Post and I'm like, what's the classiest thing I can think of? Like a party with,
Alphonse D'Amato. And some other senator who was like a lesser known guy. That guy was a real guy. Yeah, I didn't know who that was either. That was a 1997 reference senator. It was big in the theater.
Well, they talk about the end of the millennium coming up, too. It was a very, like, 90s movie in that way.
That's when Al Pacino gives the advice on the perm. And then they go up to Al Pacino's apartment.
Okay. Can I say one more thing about the hair reference and the perm? And I don't want to cut to the end. But later on, we see him with a woman who's prominently featured in the film. Who has the same exact hairdo.
Same haircut.
Yeah, as right. Charlize Theron.
You're right. And I always confuse that woman with the Italian woman, and I feel like the Italian woman disappears
they're
halfway
not, they're
through the
women?
Wait, movie. They're different women?
No.
Oh, they're the same character. They're not?
Same character.
Oh, okay.
The redhead?
Yeah, because she has an accent at the first half of the movie.
And then she doesn't.
No. She doesn't have an accent. She's speaking Italian.
Oh, really?
No, that's not true, Jason.
No, she had the accent on the balcony.
She had the accent on the balcony. She doesn't have an accent.
What accent? She had an accent on the balcony in that scene where they're lit.
She did?
Yes. Yeah.
She loses it entirely.
Do it for me. What did it sound like?
Hey, how was it going?
Wait, I'm sorry. Was she Luigi?
She did have that accent.
That's the same girl.
It's the same girl.
That's the same girl.
But we may figure out why she loses that accent because of the twist at the end.
So you think she was putting it on the whole time?
Well, she's not Italian.
Did she have an accent?
That's the same woman,
yes.
Right?
It's definitely the same woman. Okay. It's definitely the same woman, the redhead.
And she had an accent on the balcony, right? Yes. And she lost it. Oh, wait, what did you say, sir? Okay.
What? That makes it more
that
confusing.
That adds a whole nother part
that
of it.
That makes it what? So much
apparently
more
she's Dutch. What? If you didn't hear that, she's
the
Dutch.
The actress is Dutch or the character was then meant to be Dutch?
Is it Catherine Hodge from Head of the Class?
The actress was Dutch? What are we doing fucking hiring the Dutch in our movies? Why?
And I said it before, I say it again, we can't let the Dutch get into America.
Guys, I'll allow a couple of Stellan Skarsgårds every now and then, but we cannot let Dutch take over our movies.
Take their wooden shoes and send them back to Deutschland, which is what the original it was called, and then German co-opted it. Germany called it Deutschland.
This is a really... We're learning a lot. In this episode of How Did This Get Made?
So they go.
We are 15 minutes into the movie.
barely into the
maybe crux. 15 minutes into the movie.
Not a problem because the movie pretty much wraps up all storylines with about 2 hours, and then there's this 25 more minutes of just speeches.
We haven't gotten to the voodoo priest who is on trial.
Oh my god!
The one who killed the boat.
Delroy Lindo.
Don't forget, in the middle of this movie, there's another trial with the voodoo priest before the trial of Craig T. Nelson.
There's two easy cuts you could have made to get this movie down to 90 minutes, which is Jeffrey Jones and the goat.
A real-life pedophile.
Yeah, a real-life pedophile.
But if you got rid of the voodoo goat and Jeffrey Jones, it would be a shorter movie.
Or if you just didn't make this movie...
Shorter
here's
movie.
Here's an easy cut. I don't want to make this movie. Garbage can.
Today we are sponsored by our friends at Squarespace. I love this company. Have you ever wanted to create a website and thought, ugh, it's too hard. I don't have the time. I don't have the patience. I don't have the talent. Well, guess what? You don't need any of that with Squarespace.com. They do it all for you. I'm talking, they give you a free domain name. They handle the hosting. And they even have 24-hour customer support. And here's the best part. Everything on their platform is drag and drop. You find something, you drag it, you drop it in. The templates are customizable. You can switch to a different template at any time. And the great thing about Squarespace is that whatever website you create, it automatically scales to fit perfectly on an iPad, iPhone, computer, or pretty much any other device. That's not all. They have unlimited plans at Squarespace. They offer the best value, unlimited pages, galleries, blogs, unlimited storage, bandwidth, and contributors. Go to squarespace.com/cage and start a free trial. That's no credit card required. And if you decide to purchase, click on the offer code and enter the code FLOP. That's F-L-O-P. Get a 10% discount. If you actually make a website, let me know. I'm going to look at it and we'll talk about it on air next time we do a Squarespace ad. That's squarespace.com/cage, offer code FLOP. Squarespace, everything you need to build exceptional websites.
They wanted to make this movie so much that they rewrote the script 5 times to appease Al Pacino.
I thought that the voodoo guy, at a certain point, they might have been trying to misdirect us and have us think that he was actually the devil.
What?
No.
That is as generous as Paul thinking that Keanu is making choices.
What I'm suggesting is that there was a working title, and the movie was not called Devil's Advocate in the beginning.
It was called
Voodoo Guy's the Devil?
Yes.
Voodoo is bad.
Ha ha ha, JK. It's Pacino.
Or Robert Redford, depending on his availability.
I said it before, but I will.
Bow Wow.
I mean, the voodoo guy, Delroy Lindo, I don't even understand what this case is.
I don't understand.
I guess the cops came in and
busted
him. It's
a health code case.
They said it was a health code case.
He was murdering a goat in his basement. What health code?
Okay, this is what's crazy. Okay, so his first case he's given is this. And what's the woman's name? Deborah Monk? Is that the woman?
Yeah. She's amazing. I love her.
Deborah Monk, amazing, right?
What a treat.
Phenomenal actress. Comes in and is like, this is your first case. Bop, bop, bop. And it's this case. And then hard cut to them watching... security camera footage or cops kind of footage of Delroy Lindo massacring a goat. Just like...
sawing its throat off.
While the cops are trying to stop him.
And it's kind of crazy that he doesn't stop.
I wonder if he doesn't
even register their entrance.
Yeah, it's like when someone's... This is terrible. If someone was raping someone... Why did I even say that? And someone came in, and you're like,
"This
I'm not
movie
done
is
yet.
Bringing out the worst in all of us."
I know
them.
It is, it's but I
well,
wonder.
In a way, he is raping that goat.
Yeah,
just it is a throat raping.
It is a non-consensual act.
I will say, I will also just posit that this is again another chance to say, black people are either scary or mysterious.
Yeah.
Because every black person in this movie is either scary or mysterious.
Yes.
Again, the screenwriter was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Put something in about black guys. They're scary and they're mysterious. It was really, it's uncomfortable how many times that they're always, it's really
weird. Every black person in the movie is linked to the devil.
Yes.
That's what it is. There are,
every person in the movie is linked to the devil.
Well, I guess, sort of.
I just felt like it was weird.
There's some weird race stuff in this movie.
There's some weird stuff in this movie.
There's a lot of weird race stuff in this movie, guys.
No, you're
a lot
right.
of weird race stuff.
I love that everybody's like, I don't know if we can laugh at this.
Is that funny?
I don't know.
Is there anybody around that?
They said black, not African American. I don't know if we're supposed to laugh at this. This is really making me uncomfortable.
This is really a tough moment.
The three white people and the brown guy are making me weird on stage.
Is Jason black?
I don't think he is. I mean,
Jason can say it because
the terrorists can say it, but those three whites cannot say any of this.
I definitely think he's black.
I hope he doesn't have a bomb.
Delroy Lindo decides he's going to... he takes a tongue, like a tongue of an animal, and then like puts some nails in it. He goes, don't worry about it. When we get the trial, he doesn't say it that succinctly. He goes, don't worry about it. I took care of it, the tongue. So they go to trial to like try this guy for whatever, killing a goat. And it does not seem like this law firm should be dealing with a goat killer. But
this guy has a lot of money to pay them.
I guess. And so basically what happens is the guy that he's fighting in court, like when Keanu Reeves is making his closing argument, the guy's like,
object.
He's like kind of coughing.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's having a choking fit. And the judge is like, for God's sakes, man. Like, not like you need a glass of water. Are you okay? This guy's choking. He's like, oh, you're really wrecking my day. Get it under control, Coffo.
I mean, someone should call 911. That's the vibe.
I don't know if you guys felt this way. I felt like that was a very anticlimactic version of
what the
voodoo guy was doing.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously
wasn't in real time.
Yeah, because he's obviously doing some voodoo thing with nails and a tongue, and all the guy does really is cough.
And it's not even like a productive cough. It's
For God's sakes. That was a little disappointing, but spoiler alert, Keanu Reeves gets the guy off sexually.
Things are going good for Keanu so much that he gets invited up to Al Pacino's special loft, and they go, hey, it's just an office. And he's like, yeah, it's just an office. Like, where's the bed? And he goes, oh, he doesn't sleep. Well, where does he fuck? And then Pacino, one of the best lines, everywhere! Everywhere.
I found it.
He does not fuck or sleep, but later in the movie he wears three-piece pajamas. So that means that he had like at a certain point he's like, well, I'm gonna take off this suit and put on my PJs. I'm not gonna nap, but I'm just gonna put these on.
We have not talked about the Keanu Reeves Charlize Theron sex scene.
Oh my God.
Which is next level bonkers. Yeah. So
before you even get that, I just want to say one thing. A surprising amount of granny panties in this movie. Every girl is wearing
high waist.
Well, they have pubes too, which is interesting.
Gross. Yes.
It was the 90s.
It was the 90s. It was the late 90s. It was a different time. Women loved their bushes.
Ah, gross.
So sorry, yes, the sex scene.
When you have a triangle, you need bigger panties to cover.
Before, you need
simple as that.
We need to talk because
farm town.
Earlier than the sex scene is wait a second, is Charlize and the other two wives are in like a Loman's dressing room.
I got this.
Where it is like, it's like a communal dressing room. Everybody's pulling their tits out. I don't know what the fuck is going on. This makes everybody seems to think it's cool.
Well, they're bragging about their plastic surgeon.
Which the woman is like, my tits look great, plastic surgeon. And I was like, those are real.
Let's take a look. I got this scene. So let's take a look at this. Here we go.
Guys, do not jerk off. Here we go.
Real or not? They look real.
They must be real.
Feel them.
Oh, no, it's okay, really.
Go ahead.
No.
That's the ultimate test.
Come on.
Why is Charlize wearing half a dress?
Her nipples are so hard.
Yes, absolutely real. Dr. Robert.
Watch this. Watch this.
Well, this is the best scene in the whole movie. Watch it. This is amazing. I will say that when we saw this on the airplane, June jumped out of her seat.
Did you really?
And almost leapt into the man next to us, his arms. And he looked over to see demon tits. And he's like, who the fuck am I sitting next to?
I was very scared.
That I did not expect that either, and I got scared. I was watching it last night in my hotel, and I was like, wow!
It is the scariest part of the movie.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%.
It's definitely the least expected. Like,
oh, there's another one, too. There's the Deborah Monk one.
Which part?
The Deborah Monk in the mirror demon face.
Yeah, but that's not as scary
uterus
as
baby,
that one.
That's a scary moment.
Oh, uterus, schmuterus, baby. What is it? That wasn't
uterus
so scary.
Baby?
Yeah, that's when...
No,
when
the baby was playing with her ovaries.
You're acting like nobody's ever seen a newborn, not even a newborn, but a toddler holding a woman's uterus in its hands.
Big whoop. Seen it in Lincoln.
This is the uterus.
I don't have a problem with the uterus baby because that's a dream. She was in Lomans and that woman turned into a fucking demon and her tits turned into demons.
I mean, for real. And maybe I just, like, obviously these people are all wealthy. They're supposed to be New York, like, socialite types. Are there fancy places that have communal dressing rooms?
Well, if you go to Saks and you're spending enough money, you'll get a big dressing room and you can bring your girlfriends in
is
and say,
it?
Ooh, do you like this?
Is that
like
it?
That?
You say yes? Neiman's?
No, not a Lomans.
They're
right.
Lomans.
You're right.
Because I feel like Lomans is the home of
it
the...
It was a filing basement and they're savvy shoppers.
Yeah, but it was confusing because it did look like Charlize was just like covered in dresses.
Yeah. Like... But she had half a red dress on.
Yeah.
And we didn't see the part where she was like, maybe I'll try this one on. Well, I'll sit down.
Now, yeah, they just discarded dresses on her.
I'm going to say something that I don't want her to come up.
She was mad. She was like, I can't believe they cut into that scene where I'd already been sitting in the dress. Now it makes no sense why I have half a red dress on. Also, this movie is terrible. I wish I wasn't in it.
Right before they have sex, June, you like this moment. Basically, Charlize is freaking out at home, and Keanu kind of tries to calm her down. Do you remember what he says to her? Yeah. He goes... Yeah.
Does anybody else remember?
Oh, yeah.
No, he goes, stop! Reset! That is what he says to his wife who is freaking out. Stop! Reset! That's some crazy robot shit right there. That's how you deal with a panicky wife?
But here's the thing. That's how you have to treat women. I am single. The sex scene unfolds where they're going to make a... we're going to make a baby, right?
We're going to make a baby.
So they're going to make a baby, and... But, well, we haven't seen her, but there is the woman who we're arguing whether or not... the Dutch woman.
Well, she is the same woman.
The Dutch woman. Same woman. Keanu Reeves is like, he's gonna blast Charlize, you know, and they're getting down, and he takes all the clothes... And then he starts... Instead, it starts to be this woman, the redhead.
Yeah, he's fantasizing about another woman while he fucks his wife. Like, that's never happened.
No, I don't think he's... No, he's not fantasizing.
I don't think so.
She's transforming.
I think that's...
Yes!
I don't get this movie.
No. Okay, this is what I think. This is... Because actually, I was confused by this. This is what I think.
Yeah.
But part of my explanation involves a slight spoiler.
Okay, yeah. No, you can spoil it.
Okay, so
we're so deep. We're like an
alert.
Hour into this episode.
Guys, spoiler alert, oh, wait, Al Pacino is the devil.
Guys, you would have never seen it coming unless you saw the trailer, the poster, or read the title.
But, so here's the thing. Al Pacino's plan at the end that he reveals is that Keanu and the Dutch woman.
There's argument
you
in the crowd.
You fucking assholes. You. Audience, get your stories straight.
We will let the
decide outside where she's from. Come in and tell us.
This side of the house is all like she's Danish. This side's like she's all Italian. This side she's like she's two people.
Let's call.
We'll just lay out the big reveal. We can lay it out and just say that.
Okay. Yeah.
Keanu's mom had a one night stand with the devil.
While on vacation in New York.
Oh, yes. And then had a baby with just Keanu. And then he also had a daughter. We don't know who her mother is. And his big plan is
But the daughter is the Dutch, Danish, Italian girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so he says, I want you guys to have sex and create the Antichrist.
Exactly.
Okay, so my theory is that when Keanu is fucking Charlize, she's transforming into the Dutch woman because that would bring about the Antichrist.
No,
but they don't finish having sex.
It wouldn't because he needs to have free will.
Yes.
But he is having free will with who?
Hold on. We gotta say that the devil works in mysterious ways because the devil also fucked and sliced Charlize while he was with Keanu all day. So
is that true or did he just say that?
He was with Keanu all day at the court.
Wait, didn't he say that he had sex with Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
Al Pacino?
No, she said. She told Keanu in the church that she had sex with Pacino.
With Al Pacino.
But he was in court with me. I think he can just be anywhere he wants. Bless
and that is why the devil's daughter could also be everywhere she wants. She was starting to get him like riled up. She's like, this could be, you know.
I think that sex scene was the first attempt to have a baby with the red-haired woman. Does nobody agree?
I don't think
that's true.
No?
Because her body would have had to have been there.
You guys, you're my enemies.
I think he had to choose to do it in order to inherit
the
throne.
Yeah,
but don't you but
to
don't.
Choose.
Well, this is really
the
a really
Jews
interesting take on
to
it.
Do it.
Okay.
The Jews always did
it. He had the Jews do it.
But no, I think what it was, I think that what he was trying to do was tempt him. So he was able to transform, because as long as they lived in that apartment building where he was in the front of it.
You mean the Rosemary's Baby apartment building?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Because by the way, I think he also needed to be on that altar at the end. Which altar?
Well, you think? How come nobody noticed that altar? That altar was in 15 minutes of that scene.
With the relief?
Had sex
behind it? With the painting?
No, no. In front of that sculpture is an altar.
Okay.
Which is like with a knife on it and all this. A sacrificial altar.
But sometimes it holds like cocktails.
Boop-a-doop-a-doop. We're walking around.
You know,
hey, what's this about?
You know what? You put a bowl of fruit on it, you put a bottle of Jack Daniels, people will not even think about it. Put a fruit on it.
Is that a put a bird on it callback?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Put some fruit on it.
All right. Portlandia, coming back to IFC, you guys.
Watch it get on it. Oh, man.
Just subtle plugs for our friends' shows.
What should we... I mean, I want to talk to the audience because they obviously have a lot of questions. Should I show the scene where he goes to confront the
Whatever devil? The question is, the answer is yes, show the scene.
All right, here we go.
I just wanted to add something about that final scene if we're jumping around, which
please.
He tells Keanu Reeves two things. This is your sister, and she's ovulating.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's supposed to get him in the mood.
What he says is, do you mind if I use you for an example? He goes, it's something else. She's ovulating. He gives her one of those. In case you're wondering where ovulation happens, I'm going to point to it.
Around here. And then she takes her dress off and she's naked and Al Pacino's like standing behind her waiting for
touching her. I'm going to show a little bit of that coming up. Let's just walk you through this. Charlize goes crazy because she saw the baby with her uterus and she saw those demon tits. And she gets institutionalized. She kills herself. Keanu, fresh off of the hospital where his wife just killed himself, blood on his collar. Pacino's like, why don't you fuck your sister now? But Keanu comes in hot to this scene.
We forgot to mention in the sex scene earlier, he sucks her toes.
Oh, yeah. And Charlize is like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
That's so not you.
It was gross. Like,
it's the most
real.
Graphic makeouts. Even the kisses are wet and tongy.
Disgusting.
I feel like nobody wanted to have any of the sex in this movie that they were being for. Oh, also I want to talk about Al Pacino flamenco dancing. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The last 30 minutes of this movie are essentially only Al Pacino monologues. And this kicks it off.
In which he's either screaming or whispering.
This is what Al Pacino's about. So here we go. This is amazing. All right, here we go.
A gun? In here? God damn it! What did you do to my wife? Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most depraved act of sexual theater known to man, 1 being your average Friday night run through at the Lomax's household, I'd say, not to be immodest, Marianne and I got it on at about 11. Fuck you! Yeah, that's the last thing to go. That's the final hiding place. It's the final fig leaf.
Oh, my God. That's all we got there. The final fig leaf.
I wish we could watch all of that scene.
I was trying to cut these clips conservatively because they go on for like 10-minute clips.
They make no sense.
There was a point in the movie where every major storyline had wrapped up.
Yes.
And there was still 40 minutes left.
I want to hit some things here.
We haven't even... Yeah, Craig T. Nelson's entire trial we haven't talked about.
No, we haven't talked
about
this.
It's at least an hour of the movie. It's a solid episode of Special Victims Unit. In the middle of this movie.
We told you that Charlize goes crazy after she sees her baby playing with her
uterus.
She
goes crazy for a long time.
In order to prepare for her role in the film... Charlize Theron spent an hour a day over 3 months with a New York psychotherapist to practice schizophrenia. So every day for an hour,
that person's medical license should be revoked.
Schizophrenia. How do you practice that for an hour a day? And she's not even crazy for that much of the movie.
Claire Danes currently studying with that person.
I also love that when she does kill herself in that hospital room, she takes a piece of mirror and stabs it in her neck. One of the nurses runs in. She's bleeding profusely out of her neck and starts giving her CPR.
No. First she does this. First thing she does is this. Will you hold your hand like this? She goes, "Hey." That's
her
not how you take a pulse.
Is cut open.
Are you? Oh my God! She has no pulse.
She looked at her like she was
a needle in it.
She looked at her like she was an old Nintendo cartridge. Opened up her throat and just blew in the sound. Like, that'll work. That'll work now.
She's like hemorrhaging out of her neck,
burning.
And a medical professional is like, "Don't get it. This is a head scratcher for me."
As the devil Al Pacino sings as Sinatra. I said that the whole final act is like a 30-minute one-act play.
Or a vaudeville show. I mean, because he throws his voice, he does Keanu Reeves' voice, he does flamenco dance, which I like to believe, like, in that sixth pass when Pacino collaborated, I feel like the only thing he added was that he flamenco danced.
He should go flamenco dance.
I think they go to a club and I dance with a woman.
Right,
flamenco is the devil's music.
And I think he did the same pass on Scent of a Woman. Because he dances in that movie as well.
Does he play the same character?
Yes. He is the devil. He's the blind devil in that movie.
Here's another question. Is Al Pacino good in this? Think about
it. Such a good question.
Think
the answer is no.
All right.
I am going to say...
Let me think about that for a no. He is terrible.
I'm gonna asterisk it and say this is the best of latter day Pacino, right? Like, He, like, this is not 88 minutes Pacino. This is not Righteous Kill Pacino. This how you want to see him. Like, if he's going to go crazy, it's better than Son of a Woman because he has more outbursts. So I think it's, like, right in that sweet spot.
It's on the downslope, but Heat, to me, is the latter-day Pacino, great role, and everything else is pretty much, like, an accidental fart that turns into diarrhea in your pants. You're just like, oh, I'm just going to, something bad just happened because of those espressos I had.
How much of that is acting, though, and how much of it is just that he looks crazy? He's got old man teeth, and he's got this wig.
His hair changes in the middle of it.
He's got different wigs. Those are wigs. Those are all crazy
All of his wigs get, he has, like, really, like, close-cropped hair for the beginning of the movie, and then it's like, wild Pacino hair.
He gave himself a hair consultation.
Oh, here's my boy. He's also constantly offering Keanu Reeves other women to fuck.
Like, and when they're Keanu and Charlize are perfectly happy. Oh, they're so happy. They're fucking all the time. They're kissing all the time. But meanwhile, like, you know, Al Pacino touches her shoulder and she's like, oh God. And then all of a sudden Keanu's like, yeah, I'd fuck that Italian woman. Like, they go away from each other so quickly. There's no sign of
their relationship implodes. And then he's constantly catching, like, in the elevator. Like, they walk out of the elevator and then Keanu looks back and Pacino has Asian Giselle and the redhead, who we later reveal is his daughter.
Was it the same redhead? Sorry.
Yeah, no, different redhead.
Same one.
Guys, help me out.
Same redhead. It's the same one?
Wait, raise your hand.
His daughter?
Hold on, raise your hand if it's same. Put your hands down, dummies. Raise your hand if it's different.
Okay. The same one. Yeah. Okay.
Same wins. Okay. So the minute Charlize exits the elevator, Keanu looks back, and instantly the two girls are, like, fingering each other. Instantly, and Pacino's like, aha, right? You want to come upstairs?
Well,
you want to get?
They're actually, one is licking the other's neck, which is like what two straight girls be like, oh, then we'll do something hot and lesbianish.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I'll lick her neck.
But and Keanu, every time Keanu's like, ha, you rascal, Keanu, like, totally entertains it every single time.
I love earlier in that scene, before they get off on the elevator, they've, I think, just come back from dinner with his mother, the sister wife.
Oh, that's it. Isn't that? Oh, yeah.
And she's carrying leftovers in a tinfoil swan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she asks the doorman, you hungry?
And then she gets on the elevator, and Pacino gets on the elevator, and you know something's up.
Well, you think that she's like getting the, like, the bad Jesus vibes off of him because he's a devil, but little you know, they banged.
Oh, guys, there's like hours more to talk about.
We haven't even gotten to the twist ending.
I'm exhausted.
Let's open it up to you guys. If you have questions, I can kind of come to you guys, and we'll see. All right, what's your question? Here we go, right here. Jump down. All right.
They set Al Pacino up as being so wealthy. I think we see him with his own town car. Why is he always on the subway?
I can answer that.
Like Bloomberg.
Because he's the devil and he wants to be underground because that's where hell is.
Oh, yeah. I disagree. He says why.
He's
he says
humanist.
It's the fastest way to get around.
It's like Bloomberg.
I'm
going
to teach you the fastest way to get around this town. The subway, my boy!
But don't you think he wants to be close to hell? He goes in the trenches, you see? All right, what's your question?
The trenches!
I'm surprised you guys have not mentioned that Al Pacino's name in this movie is John Milton.
Yep.
From Paradise Lost.
Yeah. And I just wanted to mention that. I thought that was
a great job you mentioned. You're smart.
Where were you for Lomac?
You want to stand up so I can see how smart you are, smart guy?
All right, we have a question over
Brooklyn.
Here. Question over here.
I wanted to know what your thoughts were on the scene with the Mexican on the train.
Oh, that's a great scene. Al Pacino on a train runs into a Mexican man, and he's like, what are you looking at, man?
Hang on. We have another country of origin dispute. Someone over here just shouted he was Puerto Rican.
Oh, I thought he was Dominican.
So,
all right. We didn't ask the question. Let's see.
So,
are you racist against Mexicans and Puerto Ricans?
I'm Puerto Rican. I'm offended.
All right.
Well, yeah, Al Pacino says, why did he start shit with Al Pacino in the first place?
Because Al Pacino was looking at him. At him.
So
and
what?
He goes, well, you know, those people are very fiery.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, those Mexican Puerto Ricans are the worst.
Anyway,
I've seen Modern Family. I know.
He catches Pacino looking at him, and he's like, what are you looking at? You got a problem?
And then he's like, your friend is fucking your girlfriend in the ass on your favorite green bedspread.
After they're doing crack, paints the worst picture of this guy's life.
Pacino also speaks so many languages in this movie.
Right. It implies that being educated is devilish.
Yeah.
I will say that was a great...
I thought that was a crazy scene, to answer your question.
All right, here's the question. Here's another question.
All right, about the twist ending. So now it's revealed that... Can I spoil it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so it's revealed at the end that this whole thing was kind of like a vision that Keanu had in the bathroom from the beginning. But then it's revealed...
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
The first time...
There was one guy who was like,
the first time we got an audience member.
We're not all going to go? Oh, yes. Just me? Oh, my bad.
When I told you guys to remember the bathroom scene, remember that because that it all was in his mind.
Wait, was it all in his mind or did the devil set
or
the clock back?
I don't think it was because he made the right choice. There's a double twist because the devil then still has an in.
Let's see, what's your question?
All right, so then it's revealed that Al Pacino was the reporter that wanted to tell the story of the newly reformed Keanu.
Yeah.
My question is, does Al Pacino have Keanu Reeves in some kind of crazy loop until he makes the Antichrist
yes.
for him?
Yes.
Whoa.
Holy
shit.
Yes.
Best question of the night.
Yes. And
that question gets a drink ticket. There you go.
You guys didn't even know that was possible, did you?
I just wanted
to... Like, six more people have questions now.
Basically, it's revealed that the reporter who eggs him on is the... everyone's the devil.
Well, I think...
Yeah. And I just wanted to mention that after that, when he morphs back into Al Pacino in the credits roll, they don't play Sympathy for the Devil. They play Paint It Black. So, like, the screenwriter's like, and then it's going to be a real cool song by the Rolling Stones about devils. And they, like, put the wrong song on and no one noticed.
All right, I'm going to surprise this next guy with this question. What's your question, sir?
Why the hell did the dad from Beetlejuice get beat to death by the two homeless guys?
All right, so this is Eddie Barzun. Played by Jeffrey Jones, real-life pedophile.
He's a total... Guys, he's an RLP.
Long-time caller.
The question is, why was he beaten by a pack of invisible joggers? Well, he was chased down by invisible joggers and beaten by homeless people.
What we're meant to understand is that he's going to testify against the devil and their company with what is
Weaver.
Thank you, the Weaver Council. And so Pacino knows he's going to be betrayed by Jeffrey Jones, and during his monologue he can control people, I guess, and has him murdered by homeless people.
That was easy.
And joggers, which is why the jogging district that they lived in was set up in the first place.
Well, but by the way, they're at the reservoir in Central
Park. By the way,
Park.
He's running...
Call it the jogging district, please.
Sorry.
He is running in the opposite direction. Jeffrey Jones is running in the opposite direction. And some guy's like, hey, you're running the wrong way. He's like, fuck you! It's like, you're in the wrong. You're not in. But basically, underscoring that jogging scene, Zacino is going to pull... It's like a 7-minute monologue that makes no sense.
Nothing.
He's like, he's the future. He's a guy. He's this.
And I felt like that monologue, I felt like I was watching that monologue so intently because I was like, important information is being conveyed to me now.
Just, it's
and
a Mad Libs. It was all Mad Libs, adjectives. It was like, the green box jumps over the Empire State Building.
And I smelled farts in the Paris of...
What's the pronoun? I need a pronoun. Proper name.
But at the end of it, I was like, wait, was all of this just to kill Jeffrey Jones? Why didn't you just kill Jeffrey Jones? The monologue made
like no sense.
Yeah, that was a red herring.
I have a question.
You know what? This movie is a red herring.
I have a question for you, from you.
On the topic of monologues, does everybody have a favorite moment that Al Pacino just bellows something completely crazy?
Well, for me, I think when he goes, I'm unpredictable. I have my hand up Mona Lisa's skirt. Don't know what that means. I like it.
Mine was this. Don't be such a fucking chump. I was like, is the devil calling people a chump? I doubt it.
I liked it when it was like one of those riffs in that long nonsense one at the end where he was like, I'm going to take the bricks out of your briefcase.
I liked less than the monologues and the words were just some of the physicalizations at the end. Because it was just pure clown work at certain points.
I liked when he said, hooah. Just
How
kidding.
Is that the
he
first
didn't
time
say that.
That any of us have said hooah throughout the night?
Hooah!
Hooah!
All right, your question.
Feels really good.
Like in the last 40 minutes that take place in Al's loft, with that relief behind and those the statues come to life,
yep.
Didn't they seem really invested in the outcome of the movie?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have a clip of that.
And that's another like resume builder, like relief blower.
I couldn't
Who
figure
those
relief
people?
Blower.
I actually thought at a certain point.
I hate when
point.
The people use those relief blowers and it's really loud and noisy.
Terrible.
Nailed it.
Terrible.
Relief blowers.
Terrible.
Boom.
Terrible.
Can I show this clip? This is we talked about the twist ending.
Oh, this is when Al Pacino's gonna help Keanu fuck his daughter, who's his
yes.
sister.
I just cut the end. We know what's gonna happen. I just cut this ending because it's so crazy. It's very visual. It's, I don't know, I love this moment. So here we go, we'll take a look. Enjoy it.
It's time to step up and take what's yours.
That's the Dutch one.
You're right. It's time. Free will, right?
Guys, I just figured something out.
Yeah?
What?
This movie's terrible?
Is it possible that Keanu is the devil taking the form of Al Pacino?
No.
Why?
I don't think so.
Because Al Pacino turns into Keanu, and then that's when his archangel wings pop out.
Oh, yeah. See, okay, this is...
Wait, you think he comes
this
back
is a
as
real...
you think he comes back as Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, I think
settle in. This is gonna take a while.
Who's the reporter?
Why would Keanu torture himself?
It doesn't make sense.
I think what's more likely.
Okay.
I think what's happening in that.
All right.
Is Pacino's clothes get burned off?
Yeah.
So we get a little bit of topless Pacino.
I won't do it unless I have my shirt off.
I want my shirt off. Hooah. So we've got fucking Pacino, tits out. It's happening. Guys, keep in mind how much happens before Keanu hits the ground.
He catches fire. She falls to the ground. He is further on fire. The people in the background are freaking out. She mummifies into a dead demon. He rips his flaming clothes off. Keanu at a 45 degree angle. Still not
going
on the ground.
Down, so
still not on the ground.
I do want to talk to what this guy said about. About the because behind Al Pacino throughout this final scene is like this like
the painting
like this,
people.
Yeah, it's like a
it's
plaster.
Like an excuse for more nudity.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like a big plaster of Paris like wall mount that like humans come out of and they're fucking.
I think it's more papier-mâché.
Yeah, probably papier-mâché. And they're fucking in this like wall mount, and then it is so funny to watch them react like, oh no.
Why don't people like this outcome.
My theory is that as we're watching it, Al Pacino is becoming younger and younger and younger. So at one point, looks like Keanu because he is Keanu's father. Bingo. And it is when he is in Young Angel.
Oh, before he fell.
Before he fell. When he
as
has the wings.
People are going, oh.
That's why. Oh.
There we go. Way to go, Jason.
He also, as a young man, kind of looked like the Geico caveman.
Okay, I love it. I love it all. I love everything you've just said.
Yeah.
I do have to ask, then he's the reporter. We see him as the reporter later on, so he...
Oh, I have a theory about that, too, okay. But go ahead.
Well, but it seems he's jumped right back to the age we've seen him at the whole
Correct.
Movie.
Correct, which
well,
is the age he is, I think. I think basically...
Just so you know, just to clarify one thing. At the end of the movie, Keanu makes the right choice. He steps away from the child molester. He's like, I can't do this case. He leaves. And people are like, oh my God, you've never done that before.
This is outrageous.
You'll
be disbarred.
And the reporter's like, man, I want to do an interview about you because you're the future of law. And he's like, all right, I'll do it. And then that reporter turns into Al Pacino. And he goes,
Vanity,
my favorite sin.
So my theory is, this woman is just reaching for you. This woman is just like...
like she's Paul, in the relief.
Paul, you said everything, I think, please. You said you're talking in my brain. My theory is that all of these are tests for Keanu, and Pacino is just going to continue to appear to try and test him into falling.
It's an eternal loop, so it yes. will happen eventually.
Which is, which we're here to announce, Devil's Advocate, part two. This time, it's personal.
Now, this movie was directed by Taylor Hackford, who is
has the word hack in his name.
But can you imagine the movie as originally with the original director of Joel Schumacher?
Yes.
How would it be different?
He was set to direct the movie in 1994 with Brad Pitt.
As Keanu.
Oh. And then Brad Pitt dropped out.
Wait, isn't Meet Joe Black the same movie?
Kind of.
Pretty much.
And then it went from Brad Pitt to Christian Slater.
Oh, my God. Head to head, Slater, Pacino.
Amazing.
I would pay $1 million right now to make that movie.
Wait a second. It gets better. After Slater said no, it went to John Cusack, which they kind of did City Hall together.
I can see that, yeah.
And then they went to a little-known actor named Edward Norton.
I can see that, too.
And then I guess they all said no, and it came flying back to Keanu.
Holy shit. If this movie, this is the movie wow. I want. Jack Nicholson as Pacino, Slater as Keanu.
Yeah.
I want...
Or how about Al Pacino as Keanu, Jack Nicholson as Pacino?
Sean... Oh, I'm sorry, I misread this, guys. It was not Sean Penn for the part. It was Sean Connery.
That makes a lot more sense.
I want to see Sean Connery and Christian Slater in a movie
good.
Directed by Joel Schumacher.
See, I feel like I would like
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage would have been fucking.
He could have been the Jeffrey Jones part.
I would like Nick Cage in every part of this movie. Nick Cage as
the crying young guy. Girl who was
Nick Cage
raped.
As the young guy and Sylvester Stallone as Pacino.
And Jason Statham as Charlize Theron.
That's a How Did This Get Made movie.
Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but some other people thought a little more highly of it. I now take you to some Amazon reviews, 5-star reviews. First review is written by Bradley Headstone. This is a good one. All of these are actually some of my favorite five-star reviews. Here we go. This movie is actually a shocking wake-up call in the morals department. The Devil's Advocate seems to be a reaction against the amoral filth that often comes out of movie theaters. This movie confronts us with things we are probably all guilty of.
Child molestation?
This movie is
Animal
proof.
Animal sacrifice?
This movie is proof that in horror, blood and guts are laughable compared to the frightening truth that we may wish to avoid. Bradley Headstone, 5 stars.
That's like I wish that was the press release for this movie.
Yeah.
J.P. Culvert, I love this movie. Al Pacino's portrayal of Lucifer is exactly how I've always perceived the Dark Angel to be. The devil doesn't have horns or a tail. He is the face of man himself. I am amazed how religious zealots seem to conveniently forget Lucifer was the highest angel, an archangel thrown out of heaven because of his arrogance and rebelliousness, not because he was a mad demon.
That's religious zealots don't forget that.
No. I was reminded of how we all make certain decisions and try to justify our actions later, usually with the precursor, it wasn't my fault, it was the work of Satan. No, no one ever says that.
Never said that.
I say that.
I've never said that.
All the time.
Five stars.
So sorry about last night. It was not my fault.
It was the work of Satan.
That's your away message,
please,
on your AIM, right?
Please do not press charges.
I'll read these last two because I can't decide which one to read. Frank, first of all, this movie's not for the whole family. You think? 90% of this movie is tits. It's not for religious people either, or people easily offended by nudity, language, or gore. Nor is it for people who have it out for Keanu Reeves. That being said, The Devil's Advocate is a modern epic. After the film, your mind will be charged up and full of questions that you will mull over for days. 5 stars.
Central among those questions, why did I watch this?
The final one here, Ben Pascal. This is a great film. Al Pacino, as always, steals the show. Reeves turns in his usual average performance. Then, in all caps, by the way, you loonies, this is the truth about God. Five stars.
That's the best.
Ben Pascal doing it up. Any final thoughts?
It did just occur to me that around the same time as Al Pacino was playing the devil in this movie, Robert De Niro was playing the devil in Angel Heart.
Oh.
10 years. Oh, that's 10 years. Oh, okay.
Wow, I was like, fucking IMDb back there.
Hey, guy that knows the years where America's Best Actors played the devil and all the women showed their tits, relax.
Lisa Bonet, topless, 1345.
Hey, Mr. Skin, you can relax.
That's
a weird thing that like the devil was personified in movies for a while, and I feel like that's not done anymore. So let's make a fucking devil movie.
Yeah, devil movies. Julie,
I don't know if we have any devil character actors of that certain age. I as far as my parting thoughts, I really like watching this movie.
It's great.
It's a bad movie, but it's
really fun to watch. And it was one of those things where I was saying in college, it was always, I must have seen it like a million
Julie
times.
Julie and I, well, we were both at NYU at the same time. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, there were two movie channels on at all times.
Yeah,
and this movie was played.
Like every month there was like new five movies that they would just sort of show and show and show. And this one was on, and I just remember like always watching it to the end. This and Thinner, which is another like. Where he kills her with the pie at the end.
Can I just like say that?
Sorry.
Wouldn't it be great
for Thinner?
Sorry.
I was just about to go home and watch it.
It's on my TiVo.
What would you think about this? Make a Devil's Advocate 2, same actors, just another rotation of a thing.
I guarantee that's what they wanted
to do.
Yeah, it starts in the bathroom, or it was either good side.
Or it's the story of that next version where he's the reporter and blah, blah. Yeah.
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 I like that. Well, that's somebody.
A prequel?
Somebody pitches out a James Bond beginning, like a kind of in a beginning that kind of.
A reboot? What?
Oh, she wants to start back.
Yes, the prequel.
She wants to go where the mom goes
so
to
it's
New
the
York.
Mom's religious,
so
the mom's
Elizabeth
religious.
Elizabeth Hurley to Mimi Rogers, kind of.
June, final thoughts?
I loved it. I love this movie.
It's pretty
great.
I love
this movie, too.
I love this movie. It's amazing.
It's a great, great movie. Well, thank you all for coming out. So that was us at the Bell House. Big thanks to Julie Klausner, whose podcast, How Was Your Week, is one of my favorites. Definitely check it out on iTunes. She's just written up in the New York Times for having a great podcast, and I agree. Also, a reminder, check us out at Largo Live once again, February 13th, for a very special Valentine's Day episode. You can follow me always at Paul Scheer on Twitter, June Diane at Miss June Diane, and Julie Klausner at Julie Klausner. Jason, still not on Twitter. Will never happen. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.